Hello everyone, I'm Amanda Balbi, Managing Editor at Consultant360.com. My guest today is Dr. Thomas Seck, who is the Vice President of U.S. Clinical Development and Medical Affairs Primary Care at Boehringer Ingelheim. Today he'll be discussing results from the landmark EMPA-REG outcome trial, which were presented in three analyses at the 53rd annual meeting of the European Association for the Study of Diabetes earlier this month. Thank you for joining me today, Dr. Seck.
Thank you for having me, Amanda.
So to start, can you tell us a little bit about the EMPA-REG outcomes trial and the analyses presented at the meeting?
Yes, absolutely. So EMPA-REG outcome, as you mentioned, is widely viewed now as a landmark trial that really changed how we view management of cardiovascular risk in patients with type 2 diabetes. It was a trial that assessed Jardiance, empagliflozin, added to standard of care and compared it to placebo in patients with type 2 diabetes and established cardiovascular disease. It was a trial that really was designed based on the highest standards of clinical research. It was a long-term, multi-center, randomized, double-blind study in more than 7,000 patients recruited out of 42 countries. What the primary results that were presented at ESC in 2015 showed was that the primary endpoint, which was a composite endpoint of cardiovascular death, non-fatal myocardial infarction, and non-fatal stroke, that primary endpoint was statistically significantly reduced by 14% with empagliflozin compared to placebo. What was really the surprising and I believe stunning result that drove that primary endpoint was that the risk for cardiovascular death, that part of the composite endpoint, was really driving the overall result. And there was a 38% reduction in the risk for cardiovascular death with empagliflozin when compared to standard of care. When we talk about standard of care, I think it's important to highlight that these patients, these 7,000 patients, were managed to really make sure they are in the best control for their cardiovascular risk factors. So based on what current standard of care, what current guidelines say around managing cardiovascular risk, these patients were optimally already treated, and then empagliflozin was added on top of that. So that is the cardiovascular outcome results in a nutshell. When we look at the safety profile in this study, in over 7,000 patients observed for about 3 years, the safety profile was very consistent with what we had observed before in shorter phase 3 trials. So what we presented now at the ESD meeting in Portugal, in Lisbon, in September, was to have further analysis of EMPA-REG outcome to look in certain subpopulation of patients in EMPA-REG outcome to see whether the results of cardiovascular death reduction were consistent across different subpopulations. And then the other piece we looked at was whether changes in glycemic control or glycemic control at baseline made a difference for the observation of a reduction in cardiovascular death. And when I summarize the results of these three presentations, overall, it's very clear that the results for cardiovascular death reduction in risk were consistent for all of the subgroups we looked at. So that was, for example, patients treated with metformin, which is a very common diabetes medication, or sulfonylurea. Even in that population, we saw a very similar reduction in the risk for cardiovascular death. On top of that, when we looked at patients with type 2 diabetes and their glycemic control, either at the time they were randomized or assessing whether they were controlled or less controlled during the 3-year median observation follow-up time, we learned based on these analysis that the effect on cardiovascular death reduction was consistent independent of glycemic control, either at baseline or what was achieved during the trial, which I think is a clear sign that the effect of empagliflozin are independent of glycemic control, and the effects that you observe in terms of cardiovascular death reduction will benefit patients independent of where they are with their glycemic control at baseline or before start of therapy.
What is the mechanism of action of empagliflozin?
So empagliflozin is a selective inhibitor of the sodium glucose cotransporter, which is expressed in the proximal tubule of the kidney. That transporter typically reabsorbs from the filtered glomerulum, is responsible for the reabsorption of glucose and sodium in that proximal tubule of the kidney. So if you inhibit that transporter with empagliflozin, you have excretion of glucose and sodium in the urine. And that has various effects, especially in patients with type 2 diabetes. There are three effects that we observed consistently in phase 3 studies, but we also observed that in EMPA-REG outcome. First, you see a reduction in glucose. So HbA1c is reduced with empagliflozin. On top of that, you see moderate changes and reductions in systolic blood pressure and diastolic blood pressure, as well as moderate changes in body weight, because when you excrete glucose via the urine, you also lose calories. I mean, this is a more proximal mechanism of action of empagliflozin as a selective SGLT2 inhibitor. When we look and want to look for an explanation how empagliflozin was able to induce a reduction of cardiovascular death by 38%, this is a question that's still in study, and there are multiple studies currently ongoing and have been initiated over the last 12 months after EMPA-REG outcome was originally published to assess what exact mechanism are and what number of mechanisms might be responsible for that finding. We do know today that there are a number of hemodynamic changes as well as metabolic changes that might contribute to that beneficial effect of empagliflozin on the reduction in cardiovascular death.
Which patient populations can benefit the most from empagliflozin?
You know, to a certain extent, I think this question was addressed after EMPA-REG outcome was published, but also now with the analysis, the additional data that we generated for the presentation in Lisbon at the ESC meeting. Overall, if you look at the reduction in cardiovascular death, which I think is a very meaningful and important finding of EMPA-REG outcome, simply because there's such a high burden of cardiovascular disease and cardiovascular death specifically in patients with type 2 diabetes and established cardiovascular disease. If you are diagnosed with diabetes, type 2 diabetes specifically, in the U.S., 2 out of 3 deaths are due to cardiovascular death. So that is a very meaningful finding, and the ability to now reduce with a diabetes agent specifically the risk for cardiovascular death, I believe is very meaningful to the management of patients with established cardiovascular disease and type 2 diabetes. Overall, the findings of the study, the EMPA-REG outcome study, were submitted to the FDA for review, and Jardiance is the first and only oral type 2 diabetes medication approved by the FDA for reduce the risk of cardiovascular death in patients with type 2 diabetes and established cardiovascular disease. So overall, EMPA-REG outcome, as well as the findings that were published subsequently, including now in Lisbon at the ESC meeting, show that the benefits around cardiovascular death are very consistent across subpopulations, being it on baseline HbA1c, different diabetes medications at baseline. There seems to be a very consistent benefit with empagliflozin compared to standard of care.
On the flip side, are there any patient populations at higher risk for adverse events who shouldn't take this medication?
So in general, the prescription and the use of empagliflozin and Jardiance is guided by the product label. There are certain indications where empagliflozin is contraindicated and you should not use this. This includes patients with a history of serious hypersensitivity reaction or patients with severe renal impairment or end-stage renal disease. These are contraindicated populations. Looking at the overall, you know, risk-benefit profile, I think we can say that based on the entirety of data that we have now available, including all the phase 3 studies and EMPA-REG outcome now on top of that, we are very confident in the positive benefit risk profile of Jardiance. The product label provides you a number of adverse events that need to be considered by a physician and that needs to be specifically discussed with an individual patient and assessed by a physician based on a patient-by-patient basis. In general, there are certain adverse events that are more common, such as genital mycotic infections that can be treated and managed with standard medical care. However, patients who have a history of genital mycotic infection, for example, in this case, might have a higher risk for genital mycotic infection. Again, that should not necessarily prevent the use of empagliflozin, but it will require a careful assessment by the prescribing physician together with the patient to make sure the treatment choice of empagliflozin is appropriate.
As a final thought, is there anything else our audience should know about empagliflozin?
Yeah, I think what we can say as Boehringer Ingelheim as well as Eli Lilly is that we are really proud on what we have achieved with empagliflozin in the space of cardiometabolic disease and now with EMPA-REG outcomes, specifically in patients with diabetes and established cardiovascular disease. Again, a reduction in cardiovascular deaths by 38% is a really meaningful number and really can change the management of patients with this devastating disease. What we now look at and the results of EMPA-REG outcome gave us further food for, you know, basically additional clinical work, because we believe there's a lot of unmet medical needs in patients with and without diabetes that we might be able to address with empagliflozin. So there are the additional studies that we have already announced on top of, you know, cardiovascular outcome studies beyond what we already studied in EMPA-REG outcome. And this includes patients with heart failure. So we actually have already started two cardiovascular outcome studies in patients with heart failure to assess whether empagliflozin can be a good treatment option for patients with established heart failure. So this includes patients with heart failure and preserved ejection fraction, as well as patients with heart failure and reduced ejection fraction. And we are very excited and look forward to results of this study, partly because for the first time now in a phase 3 study, these two studies include patients with diabetes as well as patients without diabetes, because we believe the mechanism of action of empagliflozin should work in both populations and provide benefit to patients with heart failure, which is, as you are probably aware, also a very devastating disease with a poor prognosis. On top of that, we looked at the results, renal outcomes in EMPA-REG outcome, and that gave us enough to make a decision to also design a phase 3 study, again, a large cardiovascular outcome study, to look at the effect of empagliflozin in patients with chronic kidney disease. So we just recently announced this study. Again, this will be a study that includes patients with type 2 diabetes, but also without type 2 diabetes, so goes beyond the population of type 2 diabetes, based on our assessment that there's a good chance that this mechanism with empagliflozin might also work in patients who do not have type 2 diabetes. So we are very much looking forward to the results of these studies, and that will help us to evaluate whether empagliflozin can really be a broad cardiometabolic treatment option for various cardiometabolic diseases overall. But we will need to wait for the results of the study to have a good assessment of the benefit of risk in these new populations.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for speaking with me today, Dr. Seck.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.